Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You must have noticed all of the talk of enemies and opposition in the propers today in the service, both in the scripture readings and in those other scriptural portions of our service, the introit, the gradual, the tract. All the talk of opposition against the righteous pleas to God for help, for deliverance, for vindication, and God delivers the righteous. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people, the introit. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. He delivers me from my enemies in the gradual. Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. The Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked from the tract. Those prayers are not just the prayer of the psalmist. They're not just the prayer of the Christian. They are the prayer of Christ himself. And in the same way, the vindication, the deliverance that God gives is first for Christ and then for the Christian. We see the opposition against Jesus coming to a head in our gospel today, even though it's still a few months away from the final Passover. There's no turning back. The Jews are lined up against Jesus, and Jesus doesn't try to change their minds. Well, he tells them the truth. If the truth would change their minds would be changed, but he knows that in their case it won't. He doesn't back off from the truth that he tells them, but that very truth is what angers them and more makes them ready to plot his murder and carry it out. And Jesus speaks it anyway. He speaks the truth for you. He angers them. He makes enemies of the Jews for you. Just by saying the truth. The truth is what it is. Believe it and be saved. Deny it and die. It doesn't get any more serious than that. Jesus had been telling the truth to the Jews all along, of course. Way back in John chapter 3, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Whoever believes in the Son has life. Whoever does not believe in the Son will not see life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not go hungry, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And in the words just prior to our gospel in John 8, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Good news? Bad news? It ends up being both. To you who know and love Jesus, those words of his, that truth that he spoke, those are sweet words. It's a sweet truth, and it's a dear and precious thing that you wouldn't trade in for anything in the world, would you? But to those who want to continue practicing sin, to those who don't want to admit that they are slaves to sin, who need Christ to save them and to free them from sin, to those who want salvation somewhere else, the truth of Jesus' words, the truth that he spoke, is a hard pill to swallow. It's a bitter medicine that people won't take lightly. Why not? Jesus tells them plainly, whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Bitter medicine. A hard truth to swallow, to come right out and tell people they don't belong to God, which means they do belong to the devil. It's either one or the other. How could Jesus make such a claim? Ah, well, you say he's the Son of God, so he knows what's in their hearts, so he can say that they're children of the devil, but that's not it. He doesn't have to rely on his omniscience to be able to say that. They've come out and said many times openly with their mouths, "We don't believe you. We don't want you for a savior." Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus knew that these particular Jews before him were not of God. They were of the devil. Jesus knew that truth wouldn't go over well either, to tell them that, and yet he told them that. And when he did, they resorted to mockery and ridicule. "Aren't we right in saying you're a Samaritan and have a demon?" "No," Jesus says, "you're not right. You dishonor me by saying that. And my Father seeks my honor, and my Father will judge you for dishonoring me. He'll judge all who dishonor me." But what are the next words out of Jesus' mouth? "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." Even then, the Jews who had dishonored Jesus didn't have to die a horrible death of condemnation and suffer God's wrath. Even then, Jesus tells them, "Here's my word. Anyone who keeps my word will never see death." And yet, even though Jesus offers life to anyone who would keep his word, is it good news? Is it bad news? The answer is yes. The truth is what it is. To those Jews, it was more bad news because they weren't about to keep Jesus' words. They weren't about to look to him for any help or any freedom from slavery. And the fact that he made such a bold claim just riled them up all the more. "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death." See how the world mocks and ridicules when Jesus claims to be able to rescue people from death. Because the world sees, it has its proof. Believers and unbelievers die. Christians and unchristians die. Cemeteries don't distinguish between villains and saints. How foolish then that Jesus should claim that someone who keeps his word will never die. Or in our world today, especially in our country, it's not like this in all places of the world. People do believe in an afterlife. People wouldn't have so much problem around us with Jesus' words that they'll live after they die, or maybe even that they'll never die. What people around us have a problem with is the other part, that it's keeping Jesus' word that makes you not see death. Now that's intolerant. That's exclusive, to say that it's only through Jesus, that he's the only path to God, to say that you have to keep his word in order to have eternal life. That's just not nice. It's not nice to all those other nice religions in the world, and to all those nice people who believe in those nice religions of the world. "I'm going to live forever, but don't tell me it has to be because of Jesus." Jesus' words are still bad news to the world that doesn't want to believe them, to the world that doesn't want to be saved by him, to the world that doesn't rely on his sacrifice for their sins, but to you who do. What can be sweeter than Jesus' promise that anyone who keeps his word will not see or taste death? Why? Because he tasted death for you. He became your perfect high priest, as Hebrews said in chapter 9 today in the epistle lesson. He became your perfect high priest who entered the most holy places, not with the blood of animals, but with his own blood, to make atonement for all sins. such a great and precious atonement that if the whole world, even the worst criminal, were to believe in Jesus, the whole world would be justified. The whole world would be saved. The whole world would live. That's a huge promise. To claim the power to save people from death, to claim the power to forgive sins so that God accepts you as his child. It's a truth that can't be proved by any scientific method, but it's still the truth, and the truth is what it is. And wherever the truth is proclaimed, the Holy Spirit himself is right there, the Spirit of truth, to convince people of it. We saw that with Abraham today, didn't we, in the Old Testament lesson. What a faith. To be convinced by the truth that all the promises of God are true, even when God says your offspring will father many nations of people, and through your offspring all nations will be blessed. And then in the very next breath, for God to tell Abraham, now take your offspring and sacrifice him. How can both of these things be true? That through this offspring all nations will be blessed, and yet sacrifice your offspring. For as horrible as that whole account sounds to any parent or to any child or to anyone whatsoever, the writer to the Hebrews tells us exactly what was going through Abraham's head. Abraham considered that God was able even to raise Isaac from the dead. So it must be, because the truth is what it is. God's word is truth. God promised that Isaac would be the progenitor of many nations and many peoples. If I kill him, God must bring him back to life. That's how true God's word must be. Who could be convinced of such a thing? No one. Only by the Spirit of God, who convinces by the truth itself, who makes us believe, because the truth is powerful all by itself. God would have to raise Isaac in order to keep his promise. God gives us the example of Abraham to teach us that his word is trustworthy, to teach us that his word is powerful, to teach us that the truth is able to create faith like that in anyone. Because Abraham wasn't more able than you are to believe it, but it's the Spirit's doing that creates faith anyway, so just hear the truth. Still, that truth that Jesus told to the Jews, that anyone who keeps his word will never see death, they didn't believe it, because they realized what it meant to make that claim. Only God is in charge over sin and death. Only God can give life to anyone. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? That was the right question. They heard Jesus' claims about life and death, about forgiveness or not forgiveness, and they knew anyone who claims that must be claiming to be God. Let's make him say it. He didn't make him say it, but he said it anyway. Jesus once and for all removes any doubt about the truth he was claiming about himself. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And here it is. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And you recognize what I am means. You know that's the name God, the Lord, Jehovah, gave to himself before Moses at the burning bush on Mount Sinai. I am is the one who laid the earth's foundations. I am is the one who was in the beginning. I am is the one against whom Adam and Eve sinned, and who promised to Adam and Eve the offspring of the woman to crush the serpent's head. I am appeared to Abraham and revealed himself to him. I am was there with Abraham on the Mount Moriah. And Abraham rejoiced to see the day of I am, the promised offspring through Isaac that God told him about. I am, the Lord, provided on Mount Moriah for Abraham so that his son wouldn't be sacrificed. That was I am who provided a better sacrifice. And what a symbol of the better sacrifice that I am would provide in the person of I am made flesh, in the person of Jesus, to provide a better sacrifice that would really take away sin. Now it all comes together. Jesus, this man, not yet 50 years old, was the very God in unity with the Father and the Holy Spirit, who had created the universe, delivered Israel throughout the Old Testament, who was about to be killed by the unbelieving world so that he could redeem his fallen creatures. The same I am who would rise from the dead on the third day. That's the truth. It is what it is. The world can't handle the truth. The world hated Jesus and will always hate him, but at the very same time, the same truth is what sustains you and feeds you and gives you the forgiveness of sins and tells you that God is your loving Father who has brought you into the kingdom of his Son through baptism. And that same truth, when we speak it, is what God uses to speak through us to call unbelievers who right now are God's enemies to believe it, to be converted, to be saved. Just the truth. So now you are prepared for Holy Week because you know the truth. Now you are prepared for Holy Week because you know who it is whom you're going to be following. It's your high priest whom you'll follow into the gates of Jerusalem. It's your high priest who will offer a new covenant, even as you heard in Hebrews 9 today, a new covenant in his blood, a new testament of the forgiveness of sins. It's your high priest who will be put up on a cross, and your high priest who will rise from the dead. It doesn't get any more serious than this. The truth is what it is. If you don't believe it, you're lost. If you claim to know God but don't rely on the word of Jesus, you're a liar. If you do believe, you have God's gift of forgiveness and eternal life. You will never see death. All who believe in him will suffer in this life too, but you, like him, will be vindicated, and you too will be raised from the dead. You too will be brought back to life, even as you know that his words about your soul not tasting death, not seeing death, are true, that your soul will not suffer God's wrath or punishment for a moment when your body stops working and sleeps in the dust of death for a while. You know his promise to be true. The truth is what it is. Unbelievers, beware. Believers, rejoice. That is the wonderful, beautiful, horrible, comforting truth. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.